Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. My name is Bernice Herzog. My respondent's name is Albert Brunwasser. Today is Saturday, February 19th, 1995. Now, let's change the subject for a bit. Let's try and reconstruct your early life, when you met your wife, who she is, what is her background, and so forth. Okay, where did you meet? And
My wife, maiden name was Maxine Slavonsky, as a registered nurse. She was born and attended school in Newcastle, Pennsylvania. In her nurse's training, however, she found it necessary to enter the Canonsburg Hospital School of Nursing, which is down the road. When she completed nurse's training and passed her nursing requirements for licensure, she went to work for Allegheny County at the Kane Hospital. When they first constructed the large Kane Hospital in Scott Township, which incidentally they're now demolishing. I met her through some friends of mine that worked at Kane and introduced us, and that's how we got together, and that's the reason we are built to here and live here in the South Hills. She wanted it convenient, so she was living at the hospital. They had housing for the nurses that were single, and that's why we lived here. When Kane, she then left Kane and went on to the state care system. She worked at Woodville, and they shut Woodville down. And then she moved to where she's currently a psychiatric supervising nurse at Mayview.
What year did you meet?
1959 or 60.
And then when did you get married?
1960.
And what was her background, her Jewish background?
She's from a very Orthodox family from Newcastle. Her mother was very learned. Her mother was learned, could read Hebrew and write Hebrew. Her grandfather was a shechet and was the, as I understand a little bit of the history of that family, Weinberg. He was the first Jew, Orthodox Jew, in Newcastle and was one of the founding members of their synagogue there in the Jewish enclave of Newcastle, which was down on the south side, Long Avenue.
And was that her grandfather?
Her grandfather.
Weinberg.
Weinberg.
Yeah. And did she go, I guess she went to Sunday school?
She went. Correct. She attended Sunday school. She's quite proud of the fact that she also taught. Their numbers of youngsters were continuing to decline, and they called upon some of their students to start teaching the younger ones. That can be dangerous.
Does she have siblings?
No. She's the only child. She's the only daughter of Morris Slavonsky and Florence Weinberg. Now the Weinbergs and the Slavonskys had a large number of siblings on both sides. At the present time, she has one first cousin that lives in Newcastle. And Newcastle, like many of the other cities of Western Pennsylvania, has had a major decline in Jews remaining in that community.
I see pictures around the walls here of young ladies. Would you tell us about your daughters or children?
Yeah, we're proud parents of four daughters. Our
the oldest
daughter, Luann, is married and lives in Denver, and we have our first grandchild, who is 2 years old. Our second daughter, Brendy, is married and lives in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. The third daughter, Eileen, is married and lives in Washington, D.C. And the fourth, the youngest, is single and lives in Denver. Lives and works in Denver.
Okay. Go back again to the oldest one. Did she go to college?
Yes, she's a graduate of Washington Jefferson.
And her major?
Her major was in, that's a good question. Let me try to collect my thoughts. She had a science background at Washington Jefferson. The Brenda is a graduate of Michigan State. She's a packaging engineer, works for Merck. Third daughter, Eileen.
Let's just stop a minute. The husband of your oldest daughter, who is
Luann,
he?
Luann's husband's name is Clifford May. He is, I would just expand on that.
Yes.
He is an associate editor of the Rocky Mountain News in Denver. In the organization, he's probably the number two staff person there. And is a very, I might just add, he's a very skilled professional. He speaks, he's a linguist. He speaks a number of languages fluently. He reads and writes Russian. He was with the New York Times Moscow Bureau. He also was with the New York Times Washington Bureau. And does, my judgment, a very outstanding job as a newspaper. He's in the management side now, but he had been involved as a reporter. And is a very interesting individual to...
Aside from Moscow and Washington, D.C., before he went to Denver, was he out of this country and any other assignment?
This young man has been all over the world.
But not on assignments.
On assignments.
Oh, that's what I wanted.
Africa?
Oh, that's what I wanted. No.
On assignment in Africa, India. He was, he had a, established a friendship with Malcolm Forbes, the senior.
Yeah.
And I recall every year, once a year, Malcolm, he would go to some part of the world with Malcolm Forbes and some of Malcolm's sons and his daughter. Each year he would select some unusual part of the world to visit, and Cliff would be invited.
That's very...
I just quickly want to share a little vignette. Malcolm Ford had a huge ranch in Arizona. He made arrangements. Cliff, he flew these motorcycles into Denver, and they got on the motorcycles and went down to his ranch in Arizona somewhere. I mean, this man, Cliff, traveled the world.
That's
very fascinating character.
So he must have left your daughter alone quite a bit, and... Did she pursue any kind of career? I understand now she has a 2-year-old child, but...
Well, she worked for Jewish Family Service there.
Doing what?
She was involved there with their... you know, when they have these drives, what do they call them? Fundraisers.
That's a
she
difficult...
Had, when she left W&J, she went to work for the American Bankers Association, located in Washington, D.C., and was part of their planning and education, and enjoyed that, and When they married and moved to Denver, she then, this is somewhat related to what she was doing with the American Bankers Association.
And how old is she?
She's now 30.
And what kind of Jewish education has she had?
She attended the she attended religious school, but preschool, she went to Temple Emmanuel nursery school, and then was attending the religious school at Bethel, and graduate, or whatever, she was bus mitzvah, and also attended the School of Jewish Studies in Squirrel Hill.
And I assume that she's kept up her Judaism even in Denver.
Yes, she has. She's very involved with the Jewish community, very much so.
Let's go to your second daughter now. Tell us about her background, her education, her husband.
She's a graduate of the Upper St. Clair High School here, along with all of them, all four of them. And she's a graduate of Michigan State University from their School of Packaging Engineering. And a very interesting little sidelight, the school that she was in and majored in required internships, which I believe is very essential for young people today, just going 4 or 5 years of college and getting out, not knowing whether or not your major is something you really enjoy or can find rewarding. This school required a 6-month internship, paid internship. She was selected by General Motors and spent 6 months as an intern, paid intern. Many times the student have to pay their own way, but this school, this department at Michigan State made a real effort to turn it around. It's very interesting that she was there with the idea of being offered employment. Well, wouldn't you believe it, that General Motors decide, after investing millions in retooling the Buick plant in Flint, Michigan, they shut it down. So she graduated Michigan State and was out looking about and ended up in Virginia with an automotive industry manufacturing all the interior, plastic interiors for all of the Ford, and Ford was a principal customer there. The interesting thing about it is she always wanted to get into the pharmaceutical end of packaging. And now she has all this experience in automotive industry, so when she was searching, they would ask this question, here you are, young girl, and you're out there with all these people on the line producing cars, and how did you manage? She said it wasn't any problem at all. They respected me, I respected them, I did my job, they did theirs. But she eventually was able to make a necessary connection with Merck, and she now is a senior packaging engineer for Merck. She lives in Bucks County. She travels to North Jersey every day, and every 4 weeks she travels to Puerto Rico, because Merck, like most of the pharmaceutical companies, have the plants in Puerto Rico. So she's down in Puerto Rico every month or so and spends a week there. Now she's married to a young man who is involved with the Meridian. He's a vice president with Meridian Bank, which is at home, they're headquartered in Reading, Pennsylvania. However, he's in a branch in Bucks County. They do not have any children. They better be getting their game plan put together. Work is not all of life, I keep preaching to her.
How old is she?
She's 28. We have, she happens to be in Denver visiting with her mother and celebrating the granddaughter's birthday. The third daughter, Eileen, is a graduate of Upper St. Clair High School. She attended and graduated Michigan State in economics and statistics. She is working, lives and works in Washington, D.C. for the American Statistical Association. She's a manager of their chapters. They're an organization of about 10, 15,000 members, and they have the various regional chapters. She provides the educational and support to the chapters, and they're a statistical organization, and she's competent in computers and programming. She's a very detailed person. The youngest.
Let's go back to the second one. The religious background, does she keep
it? No, I'm glad you brought that up. Brenda is not married to a Jewish man. He doesn't, from what I'm able to gather, they were married by State Supreme Court Justice Steve Sapala, who's a friend of mine, and they were married here, obviously, in Pittsburgh. He doesn't have any church affiliation. My daughter still has an affiliation. She belongs to a synagogue in Bucks County, a new Jewish group in their community.
That's good.
However, the problem is he works, she works, but she doesn't have that much time with her travel and her work. She attends services regularly. She tries to get him involved. I don't think there isn't going to be any, in my judgment, any conversion. Although he treats her properly. And
that's all that's really, yes.
And she's happy, and so be it.
Now, the third daughter.
The third daughter, Eileen, has gone through the same chairs as her two older sisters, graduate of Upper St. Clair High School, Michigan State, employed by American Statistical Society. And
how old is she?
She's 26. She lives in Washington, D.C. They have her home. Her husband is Jewish.
They keep their up.
Name,
their Judaism.
Randall, Randy Sherman.
Do they keep up their Judaism now?
These three girls, the three daughters, have a understanding and a commitment to Judaism.
Good.
And I have to say, at this particular point, as I view the three son-in-laws, obviously the oldest daughter's husband, he can take his religion or not. I don't have any problem. He's not what I would term to be inclined to be interested in going to shul, to synagogue. Randy, the husband of Eileen is a strong-willed person. She drags him. He's a good fellow, but he's not going to go to shul or the synagogue on his own, except on high holidays. But Eileen will get him to services. And so will Lou Ann. She gets Cliff to attend services. So
that's good. Now we're at the single one.
The youngest one is a graduate of Upper St. Clair and the University of Georgia. And she has a degree in science and health education and health promotion. She graduated and went to work also in Washington, D.C. It seems our daughters they couldn't find employment here. No way.
Well, that's a story.
The oldest one, Lou Ann, had a friend in Washington, D.C. and went down and lived with this friend, her classmate of hers, and then was able to find a job. And I might be interesting to share with you how she found this job with the American Bankers Association.
Right.
I indicated that she's a graduate of W&J. She went back can search with the alumni. WGA is different than any large school around here, Pitt or Michigan State or Michigan. It's totally different. They only have 1,500 students when the others have 30,000. But she was able to get a list of graduates of WGA, and somebody told her about the American Bankers Association having an opening. I was so proud of her. She found in this directory of WGA graduates that the CEO of the American Bankers Association, which is a powerful organization, they represent all the commercial banks. So she wrote in her resume, wrote to him, and said that she was interested in employment. And this is the strange part of it. And he was a graduate of WJ. I'm a graduate of WJ, and I need help. I need your help. I just would like the opportunity. Well, whoever read that letter got in touch with her, and she was offered employment. She took position and had a wonderful experience, gained tremendous contacts. And then one day, she learned from one of the officers that said, "Luann, you know this letter that you sent to Mr. So-and-so? He retired a year before you sent that letter. But since you took the time to search out, we thought we'd at least extend an interview to you. And after we interviewed, we thought that you could really do something with us." I just thought that was interesting.
Interesting.
This youngest one, however, let me...
How old is she?
She's 24, okay? This one is different than the other three. She's a very outward-going extrovert. Now, you have to understand, and when we moved in Upper St. Clair, when I was looking around for a piece of property, very subtly I was advised that Jews were not going to sell property to Jews, okay? And that's 30-some years ago. This youngest one was voted, they all were involved with some part of it, but she was voted, selected, the queen, whatever they have, of the
homecoming.
School, homecoming queen. First Jew that ever even was even given that kind of consideration. So
she was very proud.
Oh, yeah, we were. And she's different than the other three. She's always very positive, always happy and on her way. She's a free spirit.
Well, good. I noticed that the children are close together in age. Therefore, there must have been a lot of camaraderie among them. Now, when they were young, did you go on vacations with them, or did you have enough of them and your wife go
alone? No, I never had. My greatest, my greatest enjoyment was my family, still is. Going on vacation with the four of them was probably the most rewarding part of my married life. Most rewarding. We every year traveled somewhere, the four of us. But we backed out of the driveway, the youngest one was concerned, when are we going to stop that?
Did you go mostly? The seashore, the mountains?
They liked the four, the daughters, including my wife, they liked the sand and so for early period, we would get down to New Jersey, down to Wildwood Crest. And then as they got a little older, we then start moving around and would visit Michigan. Michigan is I'm a graduate of Michigan State as well as University of Michigan. I spent a number of years there. And we visited any number of locations in Michigan for vacation. I used to also attend an annual meeting somewhere in the United States for them when we'd all fly or get there some way. So that we were a very close and still are a very close family.
When you and your wife first set up housekeeping, where did you live?
Right here.
Oh, you moved to this area?
This house was being built.
Oh.
We left on our honeymoon. This house was not completed. When we returned from our honeymoon, the house was completed and furniture all in. My mother, particularly my father, his job was to see that everything was in order. The construction as well as seeing that the furniture was in, and my mother was responsible for seeing everything was in order.
That's
so
wonderful.
When we got back, it was a little different kind of event. We moved into this new house.
Okay.
We've never lived anywhere else.
What, if any, professional organizations do you belong to, or did you belong to, if any?
Well, I'm an officer, reserve officer in the United States Public Health Service, and I hold a rank of the Public Health Service uses the naval system for rank, and my rank is a full captain in the United States Public Health Service. I belong to a number of professional organizations, the American Public Health Association, which just awarded me a emeritus membership for having been a member for 40 years. And I'm also a member of the Environmental Health Association of the United States, and have a long list of other associations. I'm also a honorary consultant to the National Sanitation Foundation, who presented me with an award, of which I believe I gave you a copy of.
Have you written any periodicals?
I'm not a writer. I'm a doer. My contribution is doing things. I've had a few articles, but that's not my thing.
Did you, being that your father was in politics, did you ever have any desire then, as a young man, or now, to
never
to do anything
never
like that?
Very distasteful. Not a distasteful, but degrading.
Well, some say so.
Well, if it continues on, if this nation continues on with the attack that's made on some of the individuals who would like to contribute something to politics, if that attack doesn't cease or stop or become modified, we're going to suffer as a nation.
In going back to Pittsburgh and its environmental changes that you've seen, how does the future look to you in this city?
Not good.
Explain.
This city and this county. As I indicated to you earlier, our strength, I hold, is in our young people. That's your
basic
greatest contribution that you can make for the future, is in your young people. And our young people, my four daughters, and I have reviewed and read and analyzed the situation, are having to leave and find employment in other parts of these United States. And that is a bad sign for this region. And it's a serious sign. And there are not enough leaders that want to take this on. If we can't find employment here, if there isn't employment in this region, then Pittsburgh will continue to decline. When I grew up in Pittsburgh, we had a population of 750,000. If it were to be the actual figure for the population of Pittsburgh, in my judgment, and I've worked with this for all these many years, is closer to 300,000 than it is to the number that they're promoting, because that population number relates to federal and state dollars. And it's more like $300,000 than it is $375,000. Well, and that's serious.
Well, you're talking about the city itself, not the environs.
That's
of
the city, correct.
Yeah. And, well, of course,
the county is not doing any better. County's not. You can't, in my opinion, you can't develop an economy based upon service. You have to produce an item, a product, something. You can't do it on service. And that's tragic. And there's not enough leadership. If R.K. Mellon and Dave Lawrence were living today, this community would be in a far better shape than it is today. And I had association with Kane and with all the commissioners after that, and there's not one of them that had the vision, the foresight, and the determination that Lawrence, with all his criticism that can be heaped on him, and R.K. Mellon, that both of them had. I don't see it in any of them. Now, I've been associated and have been on the receiving end of some of their actions. They are not prepared for serving the people.
Okay.
And you can punch that, but it's a tragedy.